I took this pamphlet from the pamphlet stand that's next to our guest book in the entryway. This particular pamphlet is entitled, Where's God in All of This? Have you ever asked a question like that? Where's God in all of this? Think about it. You observe the problems of this world. You see the evil deeds of unbelievers. You suffer pain in your own life. And sometimes you may have been persecuted for your faith in Jesus. When this happens, you might be tempted to think, where is God in all of this? Why doesn't God rescue us from our trials? Well, I'm sure that's how John the Baptist felt as he sat in prison. Now, what's a good guy like John the Baptist doing in prison? Well, listen to the end of last Sunday's gospel reading. It says, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them, but when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. John was sent by God to prepare people to meet the Lord Jesus. John prepared them by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as we learned last Sunday, John would not allow people to justify their sins. John rebuked everyone and anyone, including King Herod, who ruled Galilee at the time. Now, John did this so that people would confess their sins, receive God's forgiveness in baptism, and then live a new life as God's children. But not everyone responded in that way. You see, some were offended by John's preaching. Some refused to repent of their sin. Some refused to be baptized. As we heard at the end of today's gospel reading, the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Now, I'm sure that those who hated John's preaching would have liked to hurt him somehow, but most of them didn't have the power or the influence to do anything about John. However, Herod did. Therefore, when John confronted Herod about his sins, especially Herod's adulterous relationship with his own brother's wife, well then, Herod responded by putting John in prison. And now, we're ready to examine our gospel reading for today. That's right, according to today's gospel reading, John is still in prison, and by now he's very depressed. And I must admit, I would have been depressed too in his situation. John was probably thinking, where's God in all of this? You see, John is wondering why Jesus doesn't break him out of prison. John is wondering why Jesus doesn't take vengeance on all the evil enemies of God in that day. Now, you see, Jesus certainly did have the power to free John. He certainly did have the power to crush the evil people of his day. In fact, Jesus had proven this because he had been performing awesome miracles all over the place. Now, John was wondering, why can't Jesus use his awesome power to set me out of jail? Why can't he use his awesome power to destroy those who oppose God? Well, John eventually sends his own disciples to Jesus with this question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus then gave this answer. Go back and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Now, what is Jesus trying to teach us here? Two things. First, we are blessed if we do not reject Jesus when he doesn't act the way we expect him to act. We see this very often in our world today. When people are confronted with the real Jesus in Holy Scripture, they're usually shocked. Many times people in our culture have an idea about Jesus they've concocted in their heads, and that's the Jesus they love. But when they're confronted with the real Jesus and hear the words of the real Jesus, they say, well, that Jesus isn't for me. John's being tempted by this way of thinking. He's saying to himself, if this is Jesus, he's not acting the way I thought he would be acting. So Jesus says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Secondly, Jesus is also teaching us that he is the promised Savior. Jesus was the Christ that John was expecting. And the proof is that Jesus was doing all the things that the Old Testament scriptures said the Christ would do. For example, in Isaiah chapter 35, we read, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. In addition, listen again to our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, Jesus was doing all of these things, except for the last part about the day of vengeance. In fact, if you read earlier on in Luke's Gospel, if you go to Luke chapter 4, you will find that Jesus applies these words from Isaiah 61 to himself. He even reads it and says, this is talking about me. But then he deliberately leaves off that last line about the day of vengeance of our God. What is Jesus trying to teach? Simply put, the day of vengeance would not be in Jesus' day. The day of vengeance would take place at Jesus' second coming. At Jesus' second coming, all who cling to their sin and reject God's Son will face his wrath. However, John and many others were expecting the day of God's vengeance to happen in their lifetime. And so John was waiting for Jesus to break him out of jail and take vengeance on King Herod and all others who hated God. But Jesus had other plans. Remember, Jesus was preaching good news to the poor. And by poor, he didn't simply mean the economically disadvantaged. By poor, he meant people who were broken before God, who were aware of their guilt, and understood that they deserved God's wrath. Simply put, Jesus was proclaiming forgiveness of sins to all who were humbled by God's law and convicted of guilt. These poor people knew they deserved God's wrath. But Jesus told them they were forgiven. But that leads to a question. How could God forgive sinners and still be a just God who punishes sin? That's the question these Jewish people were wondering about, because, you see, they had read their Old Testament. And even though the Old Testament says that God is love and compassionate, it also says that God is just and that he will not let the guilty go unpunished, period. So that leads to a question. How can God forgive sinners and still remain a just God who punishes sin? The answer is, is that God would give our sins to Jesus, who suffered God's full wrath in our place. You see, the Son of God entered this world the first time to be our servant. Jesus came to show compassion and preach good news to those who were terrified of God's wrath against their sins. In fact, that's why God told John to preach to Herod too, because God also wanted Herod to be saved. But sadly, like Herod, not everyone believed the good news. That's why Herod put John in prison. And now John is wondering, where is God in all of this? Where's the day of God's vengeance? However, Jesus wants John and us to understand that God's vengeance was poured out in Jesus' day. God's vengeance was poured out in Jesus' day when Jesus was put on the cross in our place and there suffered the vengeance of God against our sin. That's what Jesus is trying to teach John and us when he says, I tell you, among those born of women there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You see, John was the greatest prophet ever. He was the greatest prophet ever because he alone was given the honor of preparing the way for Christ the Lord, who is Jesus. However, Jesus then goes on to say that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, various scholars debate about the interpretation of this text. But let me tell you what I think is the best understanding of Jesus' words. Simply put, Jesus is the least who is the greatest. Now, why do I suggest that Jesus was the least in the kingdom of God? That almost sounds blasphemous. How can we say that Jesus was least in the kingdom of God? Well, think about it. Jesus willingly became the most lowly servant when he suffered for our sins on the cross. Remember our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2? Paul says that even though Jesus was God himself, he did not use his power for his own advantage. Instead, Jesus became the least, even to the point of dying on a cross for us sinners. However, Paul then goes on to write, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There you have it. The least in the kingdom of God is the greatest. John knew this as well. Earlier in John's ministry, he said this about Jesus. He said, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So, Jesus is greater than John. In fact, Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And yet, listen to what Jesus later says to his disciples. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, he who is least among you all, he is the greatest. Jesus spoke these words just after he had told his disciples that he was going to be betrayed and murdered. In addition, during the Lord's Supper, the night before Jesus died on the cross, what were his disciples doing? They were arguing with each other about which one of them was the greatest. And listen to what Jesus said to them. He said, who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? is it not the one who's at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. So, the least is the greatest. John needed to understand this, especially when he was thinking, where's God in all of this? And that's a good question. Where is God when we suffer? Where is God when Christians face persecution for their faith? Where is God when all these things happen? The answer is, He was on the cross for you. You see, my friends, even though God gives us many blessings in this life, even though God gives us times of peace and prosperity, there are times when God does not rescue us from our trials and persecutions. But in the midst of our trials, Jesus gives us the good news. Your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled to God, and you have eternal life in His love. The good news continues to be preached to the poor. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever. If anybody deserved praise and honor, it was John the Baptist. And yet, God called him to suffer and eventually die for Jesus. In the midst of John's depression, he needed to remember that one greater than him would make himself least in the kingdom by hanging on a cross and suffering God's wrath in our place. And we Christians today also need to remember this. When we face trials, when we're persecuted for our faith in Jesus, we must remember that our sins have been forgiven. That's the ultimate freedom from prison that we've received. You see, the real prison of this world is not some jail cell. The real prison of this world is our sin against God. And Jesus has set us free from that prison. And my friends, this good news also means that we have hope even in the face of death. Jesus is risen, my friends, and we will rise again at His second coming. And on the final day, when Jesus returns again, then we will see the day of God's vengeance. On the final day, God will pour out His wrath on all unbelievers who have rejected the good news of the cross. And by God's grace alone, we will not be among those who suffer God's wrath. Therefore, as Jesus taught us, we need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for those who do not see their need for Jesus. We need to pray that they too might escape the wrath to come through repentance and faith in Christ. The least in the kingdom of God is the greatest. The one who hung on the cross and suffered God's vengeance in our place, this same Jesus has been exalted to the highest place and has been given the name that is above every name. We bow before Jesus today. We bow before Him as He bows low to be our servant. And after Jesus gives us His body and blood at this altar, He will then lead us out into the world where we get to serve others in His name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a few moments we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbors.